Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio, and that is the number of the old toll-free. You want to text? Please do so. 877-282-2337. I wish we had a better number where it could be a jingle. You know, like 867-5309. Do you think that number's operative? Do you think somebody ever got that number and went, no, they're looking for Tommy Two-Tone, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Zachary. Todd, my church hosts a block party for the neighborhood twice a year as an evangelism tactic. It involves lots of carnival-like attractions. Didn't we just talk about this? I'd like to noodle through this biblically, and I'm curious what you would think. Is this acceptable or an adiaphora liberty issue?
Yeah, it depends on really what you're doing there. It also depends on what the motivation is and what the theology that is standing behind it. If a church chooses to reach out to the community by doing some sort of an event, I just don't think you can say that's a sin. But to throw a party just for the sake of being nice, I think that's a waste of resources. I think it's a failure to miss the point. And I don't think that the community misses that there's a lack of confidence in your desire to share good news. I'm trying to think of another world religion that has any sort of concern about conversion. Maybe Islam. Their book says, do it by the sword if necessary. The Jewish people don't care about conversion. Buddhists, Hindus, they don't care. But Christianity does. So when we do events, especially with a church, and it's not about a genuine proclamation of the gospel, I think we're communicating a word that is not lost on the unbeliever. Having said that, I it's not my preference. If you're going to do such a thing, make sure that it is about the gospel, because I do think that it communicates something. Hey, come and spend time with us because we've got a whoop-de-doo fest. As opposed to, we want you to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that just speaks a totally different word. I think we talked about this yesterday with the Easter egg drop business. I think it shows a lack of confidence in our gospel message. I think it's an ecclesiology issue that the church isn't supposed to be used for evangelism per se. Church is for believers. The called out ones, not the people who want their kids to be amused in a bouncy house and an inflatable for an evening. The church is for Christians who get equipped and then go out and proclaim the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I think it's an ecclesiology problem. I think it's a lack of confidence in our message. I think it's an effort to try to make evangelism easy and not confrontational and just a model nice. Now, having said that, do I think that a church should be in a community doing good things? Sure, we should. We should do it for one another first. That is the ordo amoris, the circles of love. It starts with the family, the household of God. Then it makes its way out. So go ahead and do those things. But let's remember, we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. It's not about throwing block parties. It's about being on mission with our Savior who came to die for sinners. And by the way, Jimmy,
yes,
that thing you sent me.
I send you a lot.
No, the thing, okay, if you weren't with us yesterday, we talked about the Easter egg drop, oh, dealy yeah. bomb,
mm-hmm.
and the illustration that I made up on the fly was, it's like the Olympics advertising for other stuff,
right?
But not for athletics. So you put this in the AI machine?
I did.
All right, hold on. I got it right.
I'm trying to strengthen your illustrations.
Well, this does. Okay, you should. Do you have it still?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good. You do it because it says announcer over the top sports hype tone.
You can do a better job.
Ladies and gentlemen, get pumped. The Olympics are back. That's capital B, capital A, capital C, capital K, exclamation point. Watch athletes walk briskly through stadiums wearing matching track suits. Join us for popcorn stands, commemorative towel giveaways, and the largest fireworks display this side of Peoria. There might even be a few people doing sports. That's the line, right? See? And oh yeah, the Jesus story. Yeah, we're going to toss. Yeah. You got the face painting and whoop-de-doo and Easter eggs and catch all the action live where athleticism kind of sort of might happen. And oh yeah, somewhere in there, medals will be awarded probably, we think. Stay tuned. The 2025 Olympic Festival, trademark, because who needs competition when you've got cotton candy?
That's it. Easter eggs.
That's pretty much it right there. 877-282-2337.
All right. So now this, from one of your favorite subjects to another. This is from Zoe. Todd, my local church lacks elders. Although we have a pastor and a few men who could fulfill the role of an elder, there are no official ones. The service of preparing elders is non-existent. I lament to say that many of the pastoral duties are being neglected. When it comes to making decisions in the church, there is a council. I form part of this council as a woman. When we meet to make decisions for the church, my opinion is expected. What's your opinion about this? Should I be participating in this type of council?
Well, I would need to know more about the council, because if the council is the church, it depends on your church polity, what model you follow. If it leans more toward congregationalism, well, then that would be just perfectly in keeping with that. And sure, you can participate in those things. But if you are elder ruled, that would be out of line. If you're elder led, it would involve congregational activity if you happen to be an elder led church that believes in the priesthood of all believers and the kingdom of the keys, which means the congregation has responsibilities too. The congregation isn't just showing up on Sunday or maybe giving some money and volunteering whenever it makes sense or they're feeling like doing something in the nursery. No, that being a congregation member means that you have a responsibility too to make sure that theology is accurate. You're involved in church discipline issues. So you're a defender of truth and you are involved in the process of removing those who are besmirching the gospel. That all falls underneath the banner of the kingdom of the keys. So I wouldn't automatically say some sort of a council is necessarily a bad thing. But not having elders is a bad thing. Paul instructed Timothy, appoint elders. That it needs that sort of leadership. And we see that right away in the book of Acts, don't we? The disciples are acting like elders. And then they assign deacons the work of the church, the service elements of the church. And then you have the congregation. And the elders are focusing on what? Teaching the word and prayer. And so we see also the qualification of elders, what they're supposed to be doing. And it's more than just preaching and teaching. It's instructing, it's rebuking, it's exhorting. It encompasses being, if you will, accountable for the souls of the sheep that the good shepherd has given to you to oversee. You need them. So I might encourage you to have your pastor, which is just another way of saying elder, do a study on it. What do we do with these verses that talk about the qualification of elders? Why don't we have elders if we're given the qualification of elders? Why did Paul tell Timothy to assign, to lay hands on elders in every town and challenge them on that? Because if you've got a church that's rudderless and it's led by a community, it doesn't mean it's heretical, but it's probably not going to be a very healthy place, at least not for long. 877, do it respectfully. Hey, pastor, I've been looking at this issue and could we talk about this? And could you explain why it is that we don't have what the Bible seems to me is pretty clearly prescribing? Would love to hear your thoughts on this. You can also assemble, you can marshal arguments for it, do a study on eldership yourself. You can find sermons if you want to give to him, probably won't listen to them, or any sort of books or treatments or articles, and bring it respectfully and share your thoughts. That is always the best approach. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Jay Shin. That's your name, Jay Shin. Todd, at what point do you think kissing should be allowed? Dating, engaged, or married?
This is interesting. Now, the name, how do you spell this person's name?
J-A-C-H-I-N.
Huh.
That's the way I felt like I needed to pronounce it.
Yeah. Well, the bad pronunciation aside, it seemed, the reason that I'm focusing on it is because I do believe different cultures might influence how it is that an engaged couple deals with the physical element of their relationship. Because if you go to Italy and walk an arm in arm, that ain't no big thing. Holding hands, that's some culture. And even same-sex does it in some cultures. We would never do that here. But they do it there. Is it wrong there? No. Is it right here? It's cultural. And so we need to be aware that when it comes to physical issues, culture does make a difference. Now, having said that, it's fascinating. Earlier this week, I'd shared, oh, this is perfect. I had shared from a book called Water for My Camels, How to Deal with Dating. And I don't think we talked about the physical element of dating, but it's contained in that book and I've got it marked up. So I'll run to my office and I'll share it next on Wretched Radio.
Ever feel like you're watching the culture shift beneath your feet? Yeah, you're not alone, and you're not without allies either. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled a powerhouse team of biblical voices to help you navigate these challenging times. From Tim Challies to Brad Bigney to Adam Tyson and Greg Gifford, our fellows deliver daily content that transforms confusion into clarity. Visit FortisInstitute.org and discover why thousands are turning to Fortis Institute as their trusted source for biblical wisdom. Because when the world seems to be turning upside down, we remain steadfast.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God, but let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at fortisplus.org or all major podcast platforms. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. Will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And together, we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. 25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, you're grateful. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that God is working in us. Every believer will evidence this fruit. But it is important to remember that bearing fruit is a consequence of salvation, not a requirement for salvation. God is working in us and through us, and He is the source of this fruit, not us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The answer is a question. This is Wretched Radio. An email sent to idea@wretched.org or was it a text? 877-282-2337. What are the rules about physical contact in dating? I'll add to that being engaged. And I think the answer to that question is found in a question. You're asking, what can we do together? And the answer is this question. What would you do with Widow Geldenstein at church? There it is. And if you say, well, I wouldn't cuddle and snuggle with her. Okay, then. You don't have the right and privileges to do that with somebody that you are dating or even engaged to. Why do I say that? A book called Water for My Camels. We talked about that this week. Was that just this week?
Yeah, that was this week.
Wow. Well, we didn't obviously cover the whole book. It's not that long, by the way. It's maybe 140 pages. It's got like 50 most often asked questions. We didn't cover all of the ground of the book, but he does have a pretty healthy section on the issue of intimacy prior to marriage. Obviously, flee from sexual immorality. That's a no-brainer. And so this fellow, Paul Grimmon, says, if it is any sort of activity that causes any sort of, I'll use the word enthusiasm, then you're crossed the line. Because that is just for married couples. Now, in the book, as I recall, he rightly defines relationships that are ordained in the Bible. And that is an excellent starting place in understanding what's permissible and what isn't. So you see relationships that God approves of, and the Bible, and I think common sense dictates what are the privileges of those relationships. So we do see the relationship of husband and wife. What are the privileges? Intimacy. As simple as that. That is where you are to express yourself sexually in the marriage bed, doing the things that both of you agree to. And you have rights and privileges to one another because God says so. That is the, those are the parameters and the rules and the dynamics of that relationship. But we see some other relationships. We see, for instance, between elder and parishioner. What do you do physically with that person?
Like shake his hand, but that's about it.
Okay. What about brother and sister in the Lord? Well, I wouldn't cuddle with them. Exactly. Why? Because God does not give you permission to do that, and it's simply not appropriate. Friendship is a relationship that God ordains. What would you do with your friends? Now, I'm talking friends. I'm not talking about romantic interest. I'm talking about friends. Would you hold hands? Well, maybe in some countries you would do that, but in the West, probably not. Why? Because they're a friend, and that type of physical contact could be construed as being too intimate. But I think regarding those issues, does it enthuse you? Does it excite you to do that? Then it's probably crossed that line. But understanding ordained relationships helps you to know where that line is. So what do we do with dating and engagement? Well, go look through your Bible for those words. You're not going to find them. So we don't see in the Bible that God says that you can do this or that with somebody you're dating or engaged to. So how do I know what to do? Well, what is your relationship to the person you're dating? And the answer is, they're a brother or sister in the Lord. That's one of God's ordained relationships. So what do you get to do with a brother or sister in the Lord? Does it involve cuddling, hugging, a smooch on the cheek? Okay, in some cultures, the smooch on the cheek would be a cultural thing, but not in our culture. So the relationship that you have with that person that you're spending a lot of time with is only brother and sister. Treat him or her accordingly. That's how you figure out the rules of intimacy and touching and cuddling. Water for My Camels, it's a helpful book. You may or may not agree with everything that it says, some of the shadings of different things, but it does tackle other aspects of this. You know, the cultural aspect of what's acceptable and what isn't. Dealing with your smartphone, clothing. But a hard and fast rule would be if it's an activity that is sexual in any nature, meaning it leads you to those thoughts, it leads you to those desires, it creates those desires. Verboten, you don't have permission in the dating or engaged relationship. And interestingly enough, I'm going to go find it because I might even try to get it into the booklet that I wrote on pornography. If this is wrong, I'm going to do some more research on this, but if this is wrong, I'll make a correction. But he said something in the book that when a husband and wife are together and they perform that intimate act, the body does something physiological. It releases chemicals, and they're chemicals that bond you with the other person. That's the afterglow, if you will. That's a physiological response to what just happened. And so it got me to thinking, if that is accurate, I wonder if that isn't another reason that men and women who watch porn and do that intimate act by themselves are so miserable. Because that response that you have to the intimate act, it's designed by God to draw you into a one flesh relationship and have that close bonding moment together. And you don't get that alone. And maybe that's one of the contributors to the misery of those who are enslaved to porn. I'm going to do some research on that because I just wrote a book. It's called Play the Man. Just heads up on this. We haven't announced this yet, but heads up. I think in July, we'll be, I don't want to say taking orders because we're not going to charge you anything for them, but we're taking orders for cards that you can give away on campus that have a QR code to the book, Play the Man, which it's about pornography, but it's also about the gospel and the expulsive power of new affections that guys can watch this thing for. So you just go to the campus and you pass them out this fall. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of guys who are on university campuses who are feeling miserable and they are feeling dirty and they're feeling closeted. Oh, people knew what I was up to in the privacy of my own computer. Ugh. And the gospel can release them from that and they can be given a better alternative to pornography. And that is a relationship with their Savior. So that will be happening in July. Be on the lookout for that. And in the meantime, send stuff, wretched stuff preferably, to idea@wretched.org or text away to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Joe. Todd, is it possible for a person to baptize themselves? Like in a situation where it's not possible to have a proper baptism?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're on a desert island all by yourself, and you realize that you haven't been obedient now that you're saved and you want to be baptized, could you do that? I suppose the Lord knows your heart. He understands the circumstances. But I think as a rule, we're told to baptize. We also see that modeled. You don't baptize yourself. You get baptized by somebody. Now, there's a connection to baptism, and that is the public testimony of it. It does say something. It's intended to speak, not just as an act of obedience, but it's to preach the gospel to the people who watch it. We don't have any numbers in the Bible. 7 people need to watch it because that's the number of perfection or something like that. No, but it's everything that we see. People got baptized by somebody in front of someone because baptism speaks. So let me use this as an opportunity to speak. If you ain't been baptized and you're a believer, my brother or sister, you're being disobedient. Get on it. Get it done. Get baptized. And if you can hear my voice, presumably you can get baptized by another human being. 877-282-2337.
This is from Kayla. Todd, can you explain the difference between a pipe organ and a bagpipe?
Yeah.
Other than one being mobile.
Yeah. How's about one being heavenly and the other being in about the fourth ring of Dante's Inferno? Pipe organ, biblical, sort of. Pipe organ is a glorious instrument. Oh, the bagpipe. Sorry. I know maybe if you're in Scotland, you find the cult, you grew up with it. It's like, because it solicits an emotion from you. That's my country. By the way, we stumbled into a series. It's been on for 7 seasons. It was filmed in Scotland. It's the story of a Laird, L-A-I-R-D, Laird, L-E, they might spell it with an E, nevertheless. The one who's got the land from the family inherited and owns the big house, sort of like a Downton Abbey, but it's intended to be more comedic and just about the mismanagement of the place. And it's pleasant enough. It's sort of like all creatures great and small. Tim Challies just said that he loves that show. Maybe a show like that is just paces faster in Canada. The difference is, if your church wants to be biblical, pipe organ. If you want to torture human beings, bagpipe. This is Wretched Radio.